Amen. You can go ahead and remain standing just for a few more seconds. And as we remain standing, all I'm going to do is I'm going to call up tonight's speaker. And he's no stranger to us. He's a graduate of the home. He's helping out right now as a staff. And he's been a leader here within the ministry for years now. He's been very faithful here, devoted man of God, an encourager here in the body of Christ. So why don't you help me welcome our brother Jason Johnson as he shares with us God's word.
Praise the Lord. You all may be seated this evening. Hallelujah. Once again, I'd like to thank everybody for coming out and joining us here on this beautiful Friday night. For those that's logged on, we thank you also for logging on. But I just want to make mention, a little commercial break. We want you to come out and join us this Sunday. For we truly believe in that God is going to move in a mighty and powerful way this Sunday. As we in the theme of the armor of God and the helmet of salvation. So we want you to come out and join us. It's good to log on, but it's also better to come and join us in the house of God with amongst fellow believers in Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'd like to take this time to thank God for my salvation. I also want to thank God for the ministry of Victory Outreach, as well as our senior pastors, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, for answering the call. Amen. As I continue tonight in the area, in the theme of A Time to Recognize Jesus, if you're taking notes, and I encourage you all to take notes tonight, because we are able to retain God's word and to go back over our notes so that we can retain it better and that we can apply it to our daily lives. Amen. I titled this message this evening, A Time to Recognize Jesus as our Deliverer. Amen. Pastor Charlie, our senior pastor, spoke that over the pulpit not too long ago. And I truly believe that we are, no matter if we say for a year, 10 years, amen, we all need deliverance in some area. Amen. And tonight I want to speak on that area because it's very important that we truly understand what it means to be delivered and set free. You know, deliver is another meaning of salvation. That's what salvation means, deliverance. You know, and if we all claim to be Christians, then that means that we've been delivered and set free. And set free from my former lifestyle, the former way of thinking, and the former way of acting, and go about doing things. And that should be evident in our daily life. Amen. And God understands where we at in our knowledge and understanding of his word and the length of time we've been saved. But if we truly saved and set free, from the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master of our life, we'd be instantly delivered and set free. And I truly believe that. Amen. And we heard our senior pastor's testimony many times, being saved for 23 years, being married and faithful to his wife, not touching a drop of alcohol and drugs, and all that is true. And that's because he trusts in God, and he only not only trusted him by words, but he made changes within his life. Amen. That's one thing I'm going to be talking about tonight, doing our part. You know, because we've been saved and set free, but just because we do that doesn't mean that that's it. We as believers got to develop a personal relationship with God on a daily basis. Once we get saved, that's a new lifestyle, which means it's not business as usual. We got to make changes, the way we think, the way we carry ourselves, who we hang with. All that is vital if we want to truly experience deliverance within our life. Amen. So if we could go to the book of Luke, starting in chapter 4. We'll read verses 16 through 19. The opening scripture is going to be in the King James Version because I like how it's worded in this translation. And all the rest of my scriptures is going to be in the New Living Translation. If you don't have a Bible, the scriptures will be before you in the screen. And if you haven't, for those that's logged on, grab your Bible and notebooks. I want to encourage you to do that and take notes and follow along, for God has a word for his people. Amen. Let's go get into the word this evening. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, starting in verse 16, the Bible reads, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." This is talking about Jesus. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." The Bible continues to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19 reads, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's all bow our heads and just pray this evening for the message and the service. We thank you, Lord God, for this time, and I thank you once again for the great opportunity and privilege to share tonight your word. And I pray that all of us that's here tonight will be open, Lord God, and for us that's here and those that's logged on who hasn't experienced deliverance, Lord God, that deliverance will take place within our lives. I pray that you transmit your word through me in a mighty and powerful way, Lord God. I give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and the church of God says, amen. Amen. Within tonight's theme, A Time to Recognize Jesus as Our Deliverer, there's three things that I want to talk about tonight that I believe that will help us to gain an understanding in this area of recognizing Jesus as our deliverer. Amen. The first thing is what Jesus has done for us. I think sometimes as Christians, as the body of Christ, we could really take that for granted and really not really understand what Jesus really done for you and I. Amen. What he did on the cross at Calvary was by far the greatest thing anyone has ever done for all mankind. And being in the house of God tonight is a blessing. Some of us, maybe actually all of us, should not be here tonight. I can speak for myself. I should be locked up in prison or even that dead. But through the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, we find ourselves here in the house of God tonight. And that's why, come on, give him a hand, come and praise. Amen. For a lot of us grew up in church, and I didn't grow up in church myself, but we all lived a lifestyle that was displeasing to our Lord. And through his mercy and grace, like I said, we've been rescued and set free. But I think a lot of times we take for granted what he truly has done for us. So that's one of the things I want to talk about. Praise the Lord. And the second thing is, what do we have to do as Christians on our part to receive what Jesus has for our life? And the third thing is, who to watch for that will try to steal the blessings of deliverance for us? Because we serve an enemy that's born for our souls that wants to keep us from growing in the things of God. Amen. And I believe by the end of tonight's message, for us that may not have an understanding of this area, that we're going to get a breakthrough that we've been looking for. Amen. Now, within this opening scripture, as we read in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16 through 19, the Bible tells us the mission and purpose of Jesus Christ. Like the Bible said, he came to preach deliverance, to set the captives free, to heal those who are brokenhearted, so forth and so forth. Amen. In other words, he came to bring the good news of salvation. And we all know what Jesus Christ has for us is good news. Can I get an amen, somebody? Within that opening scripture, the word deliverance is mentioned. And I looked that up in the dictionary and also looked up a few words tonight in the dictionary as well. I want us to really grab an understanding of what this truly means to be delivered and set free. Amen. That word deliverance means to liberate or redeem from, to turn over, give up to, give birth to rescue, salvation, and redemption. That word salvation in there is key. Because if we save and set free, that means we receive salvation through Jesus Christ, which means we've been delivered and set free, which also means our lifestyle and everything that we do should reflect that truth. Praise the Lord. Now, the word deliver, that's within that word deliverance, also means to surrender, to hand over, to set free, to liberate, to give, or send forth to do what is expected and desired. So in other words, Jesus come into the world to redeem all mankind from being lost by the power of sin and death. We all know the story in the book of Genesis, the fall of man. And within that story, after all that went down, God told Satan in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that his son would come and die for the sins of all mankind, that he will rescue us and set us free. Amen. Now, like I said, if we Christians, as I know we all are, amen, I believe all of us are saved tonight, those that's logged on as well, that means that we've been set free from the kingdom of darkness. We all was once lost and bound, living our life without purpose, living our lives condemned to eternal life in hell. And that was showed every day in our actions and our thinking, what came out of our mouth. There was no doubt we was children of wrath. But now once we saved and set free, we've been made a transfer from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And everything that we do should show at our workplace, when it comes to our family members, wherever we go, we should be showing that our lives have been changed and transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, somebody? In other words, also, Jesus Christ also came to give you and I the power and the freedom to live our lives according to his plan. Without Jesus Christ, we're not able to serve him. We're not able to live free from the power of sin and death. And that's very important that we understand that. Because once we, like I said, accept Jesus Christ into our life as his Lord and Savior, that moment on, we got to make a decision to follow him and to be obedient to his word. Amen. I have here in my notes, it says, we have to realize as a church, in order for the blessings of deliverance to take place in our lives, we got to do our part, which means develop a personal relationship with him, reading his word, praying, not just when the times get hard or when something's wrong, but praying as a lifestyle, walking according to his word, and also learning how to follow the leadership that God has placed over our life. Amen. Pastor Felipe gave a word on Holy Ghost Thursday not too long ago in the area of fellowship, and that's so very important that we learn this area. Because we've all been called to be a leader, whether it's a leader in the house or if you married, a leader in your marriage. Amen. But before that takes place, we got to learn how to follow. Amen. That's very important if we truly want to grow in this area of recognizing Jesus as our deliverer. Amen. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he can only do so much. We serve a God that loves us. He's not going to force you and I to grow, to trust in his word, to trust within the leadership that he placed over our life. That's up to you and I to make that decision on a daily basis. Praise the Lord. I have another note here. It says, this means we have to put in action the word of God daily in order for us to meet our part in that contract as Christians. Amen. The new covenant, that simply means a contract. Once we got saved, once we trust Jesus Christ with our life, we enter into a contract with him. And there's obligation that you and I got to meet on a daily basis. And that means we got to meet that basis on when we don't feel good, when we lacking, if we in a home, when the leadership coming against, or I should say not coming against it, but when trials are taking place, when we ask to do things that may not make sense to us, we got to learn that we are doing it unto the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go another year being the same way I started the year with. I could truly say that God is changing my life, transforming my thinking, and I know he's doing work within my life. But that only comes from me doing my part, remaining in position, taking the area of prayer seriously, getting into his word, denying myself. All these things are vital as Christians if we want to truly receive deliverance within our lives. Amen. Too many Christians that's been saved year after year, but still struggling in the areas they're struggling with when they first got saved. Now, we are going to struggle in areas, and that's a truth. But I believe if we go saved, we've been saved 2 or 3 years, we should be struggling with things that we were struggling with when we first got saved. And I believe that's happening because we haven't truly recognized Jesus as our deliverer. Like I was mentioning with Pastor Charlie with his testimony, many others have the same testimony. Been saved and set free and didn't backslide and been faithful to God because that person been delivered and set free. They're doing their part. And that's very vital that we really grab an understanding of that. We, for my brothers that's in the home, be in the home with a purpose. And it's up to us to either go through the home growing, developing a prayer life, developing a strong relationship with God, or going through the motions. And if we choose to do the motions and do what we want to do, we won't experience deliverance within our lives. Amen. If you could turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And I want us to pay attention to the word obey and how many times that word is mentioned in the scripture. Because that is very important. That once we get saved, we learn how to obey God. And how to see our life, our leaders, and everything through the eyes of God and not through the eyes of man. James chapter 1, starting in verses 22 reads, this is a New Living Translation, but don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Look to your neighbor and say, fooling yourselves. We're not fooling God, we're fooling ourselves. For the Bible continues to read, for if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. That's a very powerful, powerful scripture. See, that translation is a little different than the NLT I have, because the word obey was mentioned 3 times. And anytime we read and study God's word, when a word is mentioned more than once, that's something that we really got to take heed to. God wants us to really catch something from that when we see a word repeated. Amen. Now, it's not a coincidence that that word obedience was mentioned 3 times. We have to really pay attention to what that means. That means if we truly believe in Jesus Christ, it's our job to obey him, which means obey him at all costs. Not when it makes sense to, or when the finances are coming up. That means to simply be obedient to God and fully trust in him to be our Lord and deliverer of our life. Amen. Now, I looked at that word obey in the dictionary. Now, that word obey means submit, yield, mind, comply, listen to, serve, and conform. I have here in my notes. It says, by obeying or submitting our lives to God's word, we are doing our part so God can bless us with the deliverance he wants us to have within our lives. But that's key. If he don't see us obeying his word, why would God bring deliverance upon our lives? Just like his anointing. He's not going to just pour out his anointing to any old body. His anointing is for his use in his kingdom and his service. That's the same with deliverance. Amen. And we all have the ability to be delivered and set free for devices and wrong mindsets, wherever it may be. But we got to do our part by obeying God's word. That's why our leaders stress the area of prayer, developing a relationship with God through reading and studying his word, because that's vital. Like the one saying goes, prayer and God's word is like air to all of us as humans. We need air in order to breathe, and that's the same thing with God's word. We need his word and prayer to breathe as Christians. Amen. And if we're not doing our part, it's going to be hard for us to have spiritual life. Amen. God wants to see his people delivered and set free. He don't want to see people come into the house of God, come into the church, into the home, and go from being on drugs and alcohol to continue to live in the wrong way. That's not the plan of God for our lives. As you read in the opening scripture, Jesus Christ came to preach the kingdom of God. He came to preach deliverance. Amen. But he understood what he preached was only going to be heard. Not everybody was going to apply that word. And I believe that's the same with all of us here tonight. Many of us hear God's word. All of us hear God's word. We come out Sunday, Wednesday night, some of us, we come out Friday night. And that should be, it's the change should take place. But yet, if we're not doing our part, it's pretty much just religion. And we all know religion kills. Can I get an amen, somebody? Amen. I have a story. It talks about delivering pizza. When we order pizza, and that contrast is like our relationship with God. You know, when we order a pizza or we go to a restaurant, we order pizza. Let's say we order pizza and the delivery driver comes to the house to deliver what you ordered. The delivery driver, you cannot exchange the food that we purchased until we do our part in paying for the meal that we purchased. And that is just like God. God wants to bring deliverance, but he's not going to do it unless we do our part. It's a give and take. That's what a relationship is. Amen. We all know what it means to be in a relationship. Some of you married, kids, whatever the case may be. With that relationship, it's a give and take. We can't just take everything. We got to do our part. We got to give some of our time, finances, things of that nature in order for that relationship to work. And that's the same with Christians and you and I. We got to go beyond just coming to church. We got to go beyond logging on to Facebook Live. All that is good, but we got to get to a place where we bear fruit within our lives. And that means denying ourselves, changing our mentality, changing the way we think, changing who we, what we want, our desires, amen. All that has to change if we truly want to experience a deliverance life. Amen. God wants all of us to be delivered and set free, not just some, but all who call upon his name. But that's a conscious decision that you and I have to make on a daily basis. Amen. That's why we are taught relationship versus religion. You know, relationship is all about serving and loving and obeying God's word. And religion is all about going through the motions. Religion don't change nobody. Coming to church, taking our post, that's good and all, but that's not going to change our lives. Many years in the church, like Pastor Felipe said, I've been in this church 10 years, you know, serving and ushering and doing all those things, and that's good. But we got to get to that place where we're living a life of deliverance, because God wants to use our life to reach others that are lost and bound. But we can't do that if we're struggling, we're still struggling, and we still act like baby Christians. We've been saved 5 years, 10 years, or if you're in a home for a year, 6 months, whatever the case may be. That's up to us to make that decision. Because God, the power of God upon our lives, it doesn't change. No matter who you are, if you want freedom from drug addiction, lusting, come on somebody, whatever the case may be, if you truly want that power from that, God will give it to you. And I don't think God wants to wait a year, or if you're in a home, or 6 years. No, I believe once he see a person that has a heart that's truly after his, he will give you that power of deliverance upon your life. But it's up to you and I to make that decision. Amen. Now, I looked at the word relationship and religion in the dictionary because I believe that's important for us to truly understand what that means. We all can have that testimony that we've been saved year after year without touching alcohol, a drop of drugs, not cheating on our wives, and we can have that powerful testimony. I believe we can have that, but we have to make that, like I said, that conscious decision. We got to do our part in denying ourselves, applying God's word, allowing him to lead us and guide us, and through all that, God will bring forth that blessing. Now, the word relationship means a connection by blood or family. If we all say tonight, we are the family of God. Amen. We covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We connected to Jesus Christ through his blood, through faith. Amen. It also means kinship, friendship, and national association. Now, the word religion means an organized system of beliefs and rights. Now, we all know Victory Outreach, what we teach relationship. This is not organized. It's not an organized system of beliefs. We preach the kingdom of God. We believe in a relationship. We believe in discipleship. We believe in fast and all the spiritual principle that's in God's word. That's what we believe in. That's why you see many people like Pastor Charlie, Pastor Felipe, and others that has a powerful testimony, that's been faithful, that remained faithful, that went from being saved, a new convert, to becoming an associate pastor, a senior pastor, or whatever the case may be. Amen. All that is very, very available for all of us. My brother's in the home. Being in a home is a beautiful thing. We could graduate the home the right way and go for being in a home, getting off drugs, to becoming an usher in the church, to become a leader within the church. Come on, somebody. To become a worship on the worship team. All that is possible. And we could graduate the home and go year after year walking in the freedom of God. But we have to make that decision every day what we truly want. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of living in the lifestyle I used to live. I want a girl. I want to answer the call of God. I want to live year after year delivering and set free. But that's not going to happen if I don't do my part in cultivating and strengthening my relationship with God. Now, the second thing I want to talk about is what do we have to do on our part? Like I mentioned earlier, which is follow. We truly have to learn how to follow God through obeying his word and through following the leadership that he has over our lives. The leadership here in the church and the home, we have our home director, you have myself, the head staff, that God has placed there for a reason. You know, I didn't see myself being the head staff in the home, but it's a blessing. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that God saw fit for me to be in that position. I could say I'm not the most polished speaker. You know, I'm not... You know, I don't know the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, but I do know one thing, that God, because he saved me and set me free, that I have a testimony that I'm able to help someone else. And that's all God needs in the beginning. It's a willing vessel. He doesn't look for perfect people. He looks for people that are truly seeking his heart and wants to be a vessel that he could use to establish his kingdom within our lives in the city of Milwaukee. Amen. If you could turn to the book of John, chapter 12. Verse 26. John chapter 12, verse 26. The Bible reads, "Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I'm at, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me." The Bible says, his followers must be where he at. Amen. And if you see your servant in the house of God, you log on, you in the home, we where God wants us to be tonight. Amen. And it's up to us to trust that and believe that, and only that, but do our part by following him each and every day, every step of the way. Following God by far is not the easiest thing to do, but we all know it's the best for all of us. And also it's the best for our city and our world as well. Amen. We all know the world we're living in now is chaos taking place, so much taking place, and God is looking for people that he can raise up to go and answer the call of God. We all know our ministry, we are called to reach treasure out of darkness. And God wants to use us. He can't trees and animals. He don't use those things to reach souls. He used you and I, human beings. He wants us to grow and take us from glory to glory to glory, but he can't do that if we're not following him and being obedient. Amen. I have here in my notes, it says, once we truly recognize who Jesus is and what he has truly done for us, our job is to simply pursue Jesus Christ and his plan for our lives. The other was following. We may not know what we called to be right away. I didn't know what I was called to be right away. But that's not, right now, our job is to follow. And as we follow God and as we develop and grow our relationship with God in his timing, he will let us know what we called to be. That's why following is so important. We can't find out what we called to be. We can't be a man of God, a woman of God, a youth of God to speak life in someone if we're not doing our part. That's why growth and development in the things of God is so vital and important to us as Christians. We go to work every day. We see people that are in the flesh. They're not serving God. Our family members not serving God. When we go to work, when we go out there to our restaurants, wherever we go, we see people that's not saved. Amen. A lot of people, they're scared. It's virus. They fear their lives. Some people don't. They're not working right now. Some people are scared to even come outside. That's why God is raising us up. That's why he wants us to do what we called to do, which is to follow him. Now, we don't have to know, like I said, the word of God from front to back. If we know we've been truly delivered and set free, that's good enough in the beginning. To go to a coworker or go to someone that's in the streets to let them know that God saved me and he set us free. That he has the power to deliver you and set you free as well. But we can't do that if we're not following. Amen. That word follow in the dictionary means to pursue or run after, to cling or to overtake, to imitate. That's our job, to imitate Jesus Christ every day of our lives. He said it, and when the Bible says he went out to a solitary place and pray, we got to do the same thing. When the Bible says he humbled himself and he served even his betrayer, we got to humble ourselves as well. Come on, somebody. And Jesus said to give with a cheerful heart, that's what we got to do, imitate what he does, what he did. Amen. And we got to learn how to imitate what he done without having to know everything in the beginning. If that means following the leader that's not polished, that may talk wrong and say things incorrectly at times, amen, it's our job to simply follow Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor Philippe don't always say the right things at times, but I know he's a man after God's own heart. We all have the same purpose, which is to see treasure out of darkness, reach for God's honor and glory. So no matter how he may talk to me or come to me at times, I know that he's the leader God placed on my life. And my job is to simply follow. I want to grow, so that means I got to follow his lead. And God is doing the work within my life through the man of God. And I'm really grateful for him because God is changing my thinking and he's taking me to a whole nother level. And it's a challenge. You know, I'm not the sharpest person and at times I'm missing little things, but I'm still encouraged because I have a founder, my senior pastor, to be encouraged by. And also the word of God. Amen. And we ain't going to know everything. That's why God wants us to follow. As we follow him, like Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We all got to follow someone. We did in the world. Some of us was gang bangers. We followed the gang leader. Come on, somebody. Some of us used drugs. We followed that dope fiend, that drug dealer, wherever they was at. Amen. No matter where we came from, we all learned to follow someone. And I say this point time and time again. When I preach, everything God asked us to do, he already saw us done it BC before Christ. None of this stuff is new to us. We've done it in darkness. It's just up to us to transfer it to the things of God. Amen. We know what it means to follow someone. And did it? We follow someone all the way to jail. We follow someone all the way to addiction or drugs. Some of us follow someone all the way to being homeless, living on the bridges. But now we get saved and set free following God, and his leader, it comes hard for some reason. Come on, somebody. I don't understand that. You know? And all God's trying to do is bless his people to see souls won for his honor and glory. But he can't do that. We bucking and kicking. We coming against the family of God. You know, we are brothers and sisters. We ain't got beef with one another. The Bible said that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But time again, when something happens, someone runs the wrong way. We're talking incorrectly. We don't want to humble ourselves and do what's right, point the finger, worrying about the next person. That's not how this works. We serve a personal God. We are held accountable for what we say out of our mouths. Amen. Me and Pastor Felipe, we was talking about that reasoning. And the Bible says that every outer word that comes out of our mouth, God going to hold us accountable. That's something that we got to keep in mind. That's why it's very important to follow. It's easy to humble ourselves. Believe it or not, it's easy to humble ourselves and do what's right. But, you know, some reason some of us choose to do the opposite. See things in the natural instead of seeing in the spirit. That's why getting in God's word and spending time in that prayer room is so important. Like we learned Wednesday, went to preaching. Jesus, he went to a certain place. We don't know where that certain place was, but the Bible said he went to a certain place. And we got to do that as well. We got to go to that certain place every day and pray. Go to that certain place every day and get in God's word. Go to that certain place every day to follow God and his leader for our lives. I have here, it says, and we must learn how to follow Christ by simply trusting in him and the people he has placed over our lives. And we got to do that no matter how we may feel or how we may see that person or where that person is at spiritually. Our job is simply to follow. That's why when we read God's word, it gives us a greater understanding and clarity in that area of following someone. Because the Bible said that God will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, all these things that God teaches, it should help us to follow him at ease. But when we don't do our part, that means that we must be missing something. It could be the area of prayer, a lack of knowing God's word. But that's not God's fault. That's our fault. That's why we got to take our calling very seriously. I believe we all want to be delivered and set free. But we can't get that deliverance if we're not doing our part. Amen. That's why we got to go beyond coming to church. We got to go beyond in the home just praying and reading God's word when we call to do it. But go the extra mile. Sacrifice a movie on Saturday to go in our prayer room to pray and read God's word. Instead of saying things, sounding good, do it by action. Amen. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I spend time in that prayer room because I know I need help. I need help. I need all the help I can get. I know that I got a calling upon my life. Now, I can't answer that calling in the power of the flesh. It's not going to work. I can't serve God in the flesh. This is a spiritual calling. I'm a head staff, man. God has trusted me to lead others in the right way. And I got to take that seriously with all heart. That's why I do my best to get in God's word and spend more time in prayer so that he can strengthen me and give me the guidance and the wisdom that I need to do what's right for his people. Amen. Now, the third thing I want to talk about is who to watch for that will try to steal deliverance from our lives. And a lot of us would probably say the enemy, the devil. And he does, has a part in that. But the true person to watch for is self. Look to yourself and point to self. Because if we know God's word, we know the enemy been stripping of his power. And the only power that the enemy has is through you and I, being obedient to his word and being disobedient to God and our leaders. I know Pastor Felipe, he says a lot, and I believe it's true. Too many times we give the devil too much credit. We're giving him credit because we don't know who our God is and who Satan really is and who we are through the eyes of God and through his word. Amen. The word self, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it means oneself or itself. It says self-supporting. By oneself or itself, self-acting, to, with, for, or towards oneself or itself, self-love. So if we doing our part, if we calling out to God, we praying, and we doing our part, being obedient, then the enemy can't have his way within our lives. And we give that choice to him if we choose to be disobedient to God. We can't blame God. We can't blame the enemy if we mess up, if we fall in the area. We give him that access. That's why, once again, it's very vital and important to get in God's word and to know who God is and to know our rights as the children of God. Amen. Being saved and set free, we got kingdom rights. We got the rights to pray. We got the rights to have freedom from the power of sin and death. The enemy can't have access to our life unless we're doing our part. We're not doing our part, which is being disobedient to God. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, this portion of scripture is going to prove that fact. that it's not the enemy at times. It's us, our thinking, our desires, what we want to do, that's keeping God from giving us deliverance in our lives. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, the Bible reads, "And remember, no one who wants to do wrong should ever say, 'God is tempting me.'" Do not say, "God is tempting me." God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Verse 14, "Temptation comes from our own desires." And don't say from Satan's desires, our own desires, which entices us and drags us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, that means we're not doing our part by bringing it under subjection. The Bible continues to read, it gives birth to sin. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Powerful scripture. We want to blame the devil at times for things that's taking place when he's nowhere near us. The Bible clearly says that we are tempted away by our own evil desires. And when we tempt away by our desires, God's hand is tied. He can't deliver us from a wrong mindset, from a lusting or drug or alcohol addiction, cigarette addiction, whatever the case may be, because that means we're doing it on our own free will. God gives us free will, a choice to make the right decision each and every day of our lives. That's why it got to go beyond coming to church, being in the home. We got to truly learn how to grow and deny ourselves. If we truly desire that, is God going to bring forth deliverance? Amen. I ain't doing things behind closed doors. You know, I'm not perfect, but I've been delivered. I've been set free because I'm doing my part. Amen. And some of you that's logged on tonight, that's here tonight, I'm not here to judge no one, but you may be struggling in the area. And for most of us, we've all been coming out year on and year out. So do we have to answer a question? Why are we not experiencing deliverance within our lives? It's something that we're not doing. We can't blame God. And as the word of God showed us, we can't blame the devil. The devil, he tempts us, but that don't mean that we got to follow it. Temptation is temptation. That don't mean it's a sin. Temptation by itself is not a sin. It's just a fiery dart. It's just to try to get us, to lure us away. But like the Bible said, if we desire that thought of lust, drinking, smoking, whatever it is, if we desire it, we're going to be enticed by that desire because that's what we desire to do. I have in my notes, it says, when we fail to do our part and humbly follow Jesus Christ, we are not letting Jesus Christ take control of our lives. We are relying on self to lead our lives. And we all know when we in control of our life, so to speak, where it's going to go. Prison and bound by drugs and alcohol and so forth and so forth. So if you're truly here tonight and you might not be delivered and set free, you log on tonight, I believe we all have the answers. You know, if one person could experience that power of deliverance, why come now all of us? We got to truly desire it. We serve an all-knowing God. He's powerful. He don't have no favorites. You know, he's no favoritism. If everyone would come to him with an open heart, he's going to bring forth deliverance. Amen. We got to get to that place where we let go and let God. Me, myself, I'm tired of living the way I was living. You know, coming to church, being saved for 10 years, but not truly doing what God has called me to do, which is disciple men, to reach treasure out of darkness. I'm doing that now. I don't have all the money in the world, but I know that I'm in God's perfect will for my life. And that only comes by me positioning myself where I'm at, praying every day, reading God's word, reading Christian books, feeding my spirit, denying myself. And we all can have the same thing, but we got to get to that place where we're doing it daily as a lifestyle. Coming to church, hearing God's word, relying on the message itself is not good enough. The devil ain't no joke. He's too powerful. He'll eat us alive. Amen. That's why we got to develop a true personal relationship with God. That said, we're going to be obedient no matter what. We're going to do what God's word says, and we're going to move forward into taking this city for God's honor and glory. I have here under my note, it says, if we are not allowing Jesus to be in control of our lives, we are keeping him from blessing us with deliverance. And if that's the case, we're going to find ourselves year on and year out struggling with addiction, struggling with devices, struggling with our thinking, struggling in many areas because we're not truly submitting our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's true. This is a relationship, like I say, it's a give and take. God gonna only do his part as we do our part. We gotta meet him halfway. Come to church. Go home and read. Give with your finances. I bring forth healing. God will always do his part. Always. We serve a faithful God. We don't serve a God who's lacking, who's lying, who's cheating. No, that's not the God we serve. And if you serve a God like that, then we know you ain't delivered. Come on, somebody. But I serve a God that's been faithful, a God of second, third, fourth chances. All of us should be dead and gone. But we've been saved and set free. Come on, somebody. That's right. Give him a hand clap of praise. Some of us made mistakes and bumped our head. But through God's grace and mercy, we are here. We have another chance to make things right. We got to seize the opportunity while we have it. This year has been an interesting year. We lost a lot of good people in this spiritual battle. You know, that's why we shouldn't take what we have granted. We should not, you know. Like I said, my testimony stayed the same. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know anything about God. Didn't even know Jesus Christ existed. I can't even remember if I ever heard Jesus Christ growing up. But he chose me. The Bible said he chose me. He chose all of us. He don't want us to stay the same. He wants us to grow. He wants to take us from glory to glory to glory so that he could display his glory throughout the world. Some of us here tonight called to be a pastor, a pastor's wife, to be sent down the team, whatever the case may be. We've all been called of God. Like the Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. Few choose to humble themselves, trust in God. Few choose to do what's right, deny self, develop a cutting-edge mentality, a cutting-edge obedience to God. Many fail because the walk of God is not an easy walk. It's not. But I know it's for the good. I know it's the greatest thing I ever did in my life, giving my life to God. I wasn't doing nothing with my life before I got saved, wasting time, energy, and space, wasting money, and all the above. That's why we got to keep this in mind. A time to recognize Jesus as our deliverer. Now, I believe all of us here are saved tonight, but this is a personal question you got to ask yourself. If you know you've been saved, been coming to church for what, 2 years, a year, 5 years, and 10 years? If you know that, and if you're still struggling, cigarettes, alcohol, cussing, whatever it is that you may be struggling with, you got to ask yourself, are you truly saved and set free? I can say that without a doubt. I wouldn't be a head staff if that wasn't the case. We serve a smart God. We don't serve a dumb God. God don't position people knowing that they're doing the wrong things. We got to ask ourselves that question. If you find yourself here tonight and you know you're struggling, you're thinking, trusting in God, believing in God for his plan for your life, whatever it is, wherever the case may be, I believe we got to actually truly ask ourselves, are we saved and set free? And amen. And I'm going to give us an opportunity to repent and to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Master of our lives and to experience that power of deliverance for our lives. Like the definition said, that's what salvation is, deliverance. Deliverance from the power of sin and death completely. Not 98%, but 100%. Amen. I want to see people grow. I want to see this church grow. A lot of empty seats. And when we want to see all these seats filled, we need leadership, leaders to rise up, to take their stand for God's honor and glory. But it can't happen if we truly not walking in the power of God for our lives. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10 reads, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Simple. This is the first step that you and I must take to receive salvation, by allowing God to come into our hearts, believing that he died on the cross, that he rose from the grave, that he's in heaven now, believing him for that power that he has for our lives. That's the first step. And if we all said that sinner's prayer many years ago, and like I said, if we know we're still struggling, then maybe we got to rededicate our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that prayer should be only prayed one time. But God knows the people we are, we all, some of us make mistakes, you know, within our walk with God, and God, and he understands that's okay. But we got to get to that place where we are true Christians, that people could see in our workplaces, our family members could truly see that man, that woman, that youth, that person is a changed person. That's a child of God. But it starts by truly not only saying that, just to be saying that prayer, but to truly believing it and start to walk in the ways of God. A time to recognize Jesus as our deliverer. I believe the message has given us a greater understanding and clarity in this area of deliverance and being truly set free. Like I say, if you're here tonight, if you log on tonight, if you continue, if you save and set free, if you're experiencing yourself struggling in the areas in your life where you want freedom from, where you want liberty from, that question had to be asked. Are you truly saved? You know, we got to do our part. We got to go beyond, like I said, coming to church and hearing the word of God, but we got to become the church, walking according to God's word, Holy Spirit filled, casting out demons, healing people, laying hands on people, walking by faith and not by sight. We can all do that, but it's up to you and I to make that conscious decision. I believe this simple word tonight, you know, I believe it's profound. I believe we all can stand to receive from this message. I believe these three things is very important for us to really understand and grab a hold of. Like I said, you could be saved 3 months and you'd be walking in the power of God, delivered and set free, just like that. I believe God wants to move like that, not only within our lives, but within the city. But like I say, it takes you and I to do our part. I have here also, it says that we truly don't believe Romans 10, 9 through 10, that we are stuck at square one. God has our tie. He wants to bring deliverance. He wants to grow our mindset and our thinking. He wants to grow us. He wants to see us answering the calling. He wants us to experience the promised land life that he has us to live, that he has for us to live, the promised life blessings. But we got to do our part. He's not going to give us a wife, a husband, a good paying job if he knows that we're going to squander it all off. That don't make any sense to God. God's not going to do that. I want a good job. I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want all those blessings. But I know it won't happen if I won't continue doing my part. Trusting in God, being obedient to his word, being obedient to my leaders. And I know in God's perfect timing, the blessing that he has for my life will come. Amen. And that's the same for all of us tonight. He wants us to, I want to see all of us blessed. Business owners, married, entering into their promised land. I want to see all of us have those blessings. But we can't have those blessings if we're not doing our part. So I have a question. I want to end. This question is simple. Are we truly saved? I don't know how you're living outside the church, those that's log on. God knows, and you know personally, how you're living your life. Are you truly walking in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do people clearly see that you are a man of God, a woman of God, a youth of God? Or is there no difference between your life and the life of the world? Only you can answer that question. I can answer for myself. I'm saved and set free. I'm set apart for a purpose. And I'm showing that by the way I live. It goes beyond coming to church. It goes beyond the pulpit. And God wants all of us to do that tonight. Praise the Lord. If you're struggling, like I said, you have the answer tonight. Applying God's word and knowing that God is going to help you. That's all we need to know, that God is on our side. We don't have to understand it all. We don't have to even trust in the leadership, if that makes sense, or agree with it, I should say. But if we do our part, little by little, God will do what he desires to do within our lives. If we could stand to our feet tonight. A time to recognize Jesus as our deliverer. That's what he came into the world to do. preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, preach deliverance to his people. But just like in the Bible, a lot of people heard the word of Jesus Christ and didn't obey it. And some heard it and they obeyed it. And those who obeyed it experienced deliverance within their lives. And tonight, that decision got to be made for us tonight as well. Are we going to just hear God's word? Or are we going to do our part and obey God's word and allow him to bring forth that power within our lives? So we can have that testimony year after year that we've been saved and set free, no drugs, not a drop of alcohol. Come on, somebody faithful to their spouse, a giver in the church, a pillar in the church. Amen. So tonight, I want to make an altar call right there where you at, because we don't have the worship team. Right there where you at. If you saved tonight and you know you are saved by your lifestyle that lines up with the word of God, praise God, I want to encourage you, keep up the good work and continue to serve God with all your heart. For those that's here and log on tonight, but if you know that you may not be saved or you doubt or your walk is not in line with God's word, you're not experiencing that power, that deliverance that God has for your life, I want to make this altar call for you that you repent or rededicate your life to the Lord. And do it with all your heart so that way you can experience that power that he has for our lives. So for those that's logged on, I hope you're standing with us tonight as well. Join me as we pray tonight. I want to pray that you give God your life fully if you haven't done it. That you commit fully to God so that he can give you that power that he wants to give you for your life. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I truly believe that you came into this world to die for my sins. And I also believe that you rose from the grave on the third day. Jesus, come into my life as Lord and Savior of my life. Fill me with that power that I need to be truly set free. From this night forward, lead me and guide me all the days of my life. Jesus, I thank you, and I love you. I give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, church, let's give Jesus Christ a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, with that said, we're going to close out tonight. Just want to make mention of our Sunday morning celebration service. As we're going to get ready to close out, in that series of the armor of God with the helmet of salvation. We want to encourage you to do your part by inviting people out to the service. It's going to be a powerful, powerful service. We believe in God for a great salvation call. Amen. So we want to encourage you to call people out tonight, text people this weekend to invite them out. Do whatever you have to do. Pick them up. If you got to make two or three or four trips, let's do our part. And let's pack out the house of God for a Sunday morning service. Amen. Let's close out in prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this honor and privilege, Lord God, to be in your house and to hear your word, Lord God. Just pray for all my people that's here that log on, Lord God, that they receive that power, Lord God, that you want us to have, Lord God, that power, Lord God, the deliverance, Lord God, that you want to bring us to set us truly free, Lord God. We also pray that you be with us throughout our night, Lord God, and we just pray that you continue, Lord God, to have your way within our lives and within your church. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. We all say, amen. Let's give Jesus another hand clap of praise. Amen. See you all this Sunday, 9 a.m. for prayer, 10 o'clock for service. Hope to see you there this Sunday. Thank you and God bless you and have a good night. Go in the peace of the Lord.